Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to
Heart. That's where you're at. You're on Heart to Heart. It's Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We're on 657 AM. We are on Open View 607. We are on DSTV Audio Channel 882. We are on www.radiopulpit.co.za. Did I say the fourth W or did I just say just the two? I think I said more
there
than.
There were many W's.
I think there were many.
Bonus. Bonus.
That's the voice of Dominique in the studio. How are you, Dominique?
Well, fluish but good. So good to see your beautiful face again.
I don't want to hear flu anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's not your portion.
No, amen.
So, nah, my queen, it is well with you.
Amen.
Pastor Clement. Uchandet.
I guess good in ye.
Ah, Eklani. Alice is in the hackies.
You see, Dominique is teaching me the language. I'm getting
Yeah. Dominique, that is Rachman.
I'm clear.
Oh, you probier. I'm clear.
I am learning, of course.
Yeah, we have to. So today we are gathered here again today talking about the long-term effects of rape on a child. And I remember how we started. My queen here had a journey that she shared with us, your own personal one, and also opening our eyes on what happens to a child with school. And you moving along with others as well. What happens at school after a child has been molested sexually. Mm-hmm. But we never think about the long-term effects.
A very prevalent long-term effect is that these individuals either become so isolated in their own minds, fearful of the world, you know.
Yeah.
They tend to generalize, all men are evil. They generalize to a race. You know, if you were hurt by a white man, all white men are evil. All males are evil. All family is evil. So you start generalizing when your person, your savior, could be very well in that general sphere that you are now isolating yourself or from. And you start developing unhealthy coping mechanisms, drugs, you become an addict, you start cutting yourself. You lean into things that are not
just right there. I want to take you back. I just want you to. Oh, sorry for that. I should bring you warm water. I want to take you a little bit back. When a child goes through this, at first I think it's like unbelievable. What just happened to me? Okay. Mm. And then what comes next is. How you start trying to cope with this, try to make sense. And I'm thinking about some others who are very small. Let's say the child was 6, the child was 4, the child was 3. And it sits somewhere at the back of your brain, right?
Mm.
But suddenly you know things that you were not even, your Pandora box is open.
Yeah. I think I shared with my story, my journey, I don't remember anything up until the day before grade one, where I recall my mother and my sister and I going to Robin Hills Primary. That was where I went to grade one for the day before grade one party where you met your teachers and things. And I remember nothing until that day. And I had to kind of ask myself why, because friends, my ex-husband that I spoke to, he remembers when he was 3, walking in the hills where they lived and things. And I would always wonder, why don't I remember? And then triggers happen. You could be sitting with a friend. I remember I was sitting in church the one day, and there was a family standing ahead of us, and the dad put his arms around the daughter's shoulders, and she recoiled from him.
Mm.
I wanted to get up and go hit that dad, because I felt like, why are you touching her? You know? So these triggers start to manifest that you don't know where they're coming from and why you suddenly have this visceral reaction to something as innocent as a dad just putting his arm around a grumpy teenager's shoulders. Or is it more than that? Is it that there's something going on that this girl is trying to get away from her father? So you always become suspicious of everybody around you. All the time. Everyone is a risk to you.
Mm.
You start putting these barriers on and your mind blocks things out, and suddenly you smell something or somebody says something or somebody shakes your hand just in a certain way, and you're right back in that room again because that was something that happened in that room. There was a smell in that room where the rape or the molestation took place, and you're back there again, and you that 10-year-old child again, or you that 3-year-old child again, and you're right in that regression, and you have to start over.
And with some time. I've heard of people having, like, it's like it's dark, you don't, it's black, I don't know to call it a blackout or call it, the mind shuts it all together out.
Yes.
But there are certain behaviors that you have, as you said, triggers that would say, this has happened to me, this has happened to me.
Why do I have this reaction? Something must have happened to me.
Yeah.
And you'll find people will go for counseling, some, or they'll go for hypnotherapy where they'll be regressed.
Trying
back.
To open that that space that is closed. Yeah.
Face it and recover from it. But others, you know, I've been seeing a counselor of late, and she said to me, we can take you back. And I said to her, don't you dare. I said, it was bad enough that I remember what I do remember. I don't need to remember
the
what
rest.
I don't remember. You know, if my brain has shut that part of my life down, what is there that I don't want to know? So I'd rather not know. But that's probably not a healthy option either, because I'm not dealing with it. And then things like me wanting to hit a guy in church comes up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. How do you deal then with such a situation when you're the one inside? I'm just thinking about so many of us. There's a little boy in a man who has gone through. In the past, we used to call it sodomy.
Yes.
Now it's called rape.
Correct.
Because there's penetration.
Correct, yes.
There's a little girl who's hurting as well. In a grown woman, just like in a grown man, there's that little boy who's crying. So how do you deal with that? Because I think many of us are not talking about it, but I think many have gone through that.
You tend to regress back to when it started, I think. For me, I have a block at 10 years of age because that's when I remember the abuse happening. And as a 10-year-old, I felt like an adult dealing with adult things. And very oftentimes, as an adult woman today, when certain things happen, not abusive things, just big business decisions or things that you have to make big decisions on, I feel like I'm this 10-year-old who cannot make a decision now. So your mind regresses into different phases of...
And sometimes you want to be young.
You want to be young again. You've lost your childhood.
Yeah.
That was taken away. Somebody took that from you.
Yeah.
And that's not a time that you can ever get back again. So, you know, I want to applaud Pastor Clement and UCB Mgili and Radio Pulpit for bringing this topic to the air, because it's time that people start talking about it
and addressing and healing that little girl and that little boy,
and looking at the signs and making this a open conversation. You know, I'm not embarrassed to talk about what happened to me, because I know today that it was not my fault. You know, people would say, yeah, but what were you wearing? Who cares what I was wearing? Even if I was naked, you had no right to take what I did not give you. No is a full sentence. So we need to teach the young ones from a very, very young age, and they say it takes a village to raise a child, and it absolutely does, because if your biological parents are not doing their job, let us do the job for you. You know, some adults are just not capable of being parents. They're quick to bear children, but they don't know how to raise those children.
I'm asking myself, what about those parents themselves?
Yeah.
Don't they also have a little boy or a little girl they need healing to?
So perhaps there could be family intervention.
Right.
Schools need to pay attention.
Yeah.
We used to have guidance counselors in our school that we could go to. Educate the teenagers, get mentors within child-headed households to be those mentors. The authorities need to catch a wake up, because too often do we have victims coming to the police force, and the police force just chastise them and tell them, oh, but you brought this on yourself because look what you're wearing or whatever. They need to know that there's a place of safety.
But when we're talking about a child, for example, when that you can't even say to a child, what were you wearing? I mean, that is statutory rape, number one. A child is a child.
The legal age has been dropped to 12. So a 12-year-old can buy prophylactics, condoms, the pill, without getting permission from their parent.
But rape is rape.
Rape is rape. Rape is rape. So if a 12-year-old boy buys condoms and he sees from his father figures that, well, a woman's body, a girl's body is for the taking, that's the language he knows.
Sure.
A woman's body is just a tool.
Let's come to Pastor Clement. I want to ask about the kind of signs that you would see a child is troubled, because you visit schools, and I'm sure there are some children that you have met who said, but this has happened to me, either at school or either in the township or either at home. A child says, but this, I've been violated. So what signs would that child show up with? I mean, it might be, I might say for their lifespan, it might be long term, because depending on when that happened.
Signs will always be there, if I were to put it that way.
Yeah.
They'll always be there. One of the reasons being, sexual assault has a psychological effect. And in psychology, there's what we call cognitive behavior.
Mm.
So each and every one of us, our behavior is informed by our mindset. Mm. So if something happens and affect me psychologically, it will definitely be picked up from how I behave. I've watched a documentary of some popular artist whom, you know, she doesn't put full clothes on. And people have been asking themselves,
what happened? What's wrong with this?
Yeah, you know, she doesn't even mind to go out there and men touch her private parts and all that.
Hi-bo.
Yeah, and then when she was interviewed, she said, at some stage of my life, I was raped. Mm. And then as a result, I don't see it worthy or fit anymore for me to can fully cover my body or to reject or resist men from touching me, because they've already done it before. And then with kids, you can tell from, you know, how they get into sexual relationships at the tender age.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of the things that's happening, we have high teenage pregnancy rate escalating in so many schools, and children are exposed to sex, and then it comes through, you know, in most cases.
Wait,
it is
Maruti,
because
so can that also rewire the thinking of a child say, okay, it means I was created for this, so it's fine.
And it takes us back to, there's something that you said, education is power. Mm. You know, and then one of the things, especially in the black community, throughout the years, it has become a thing that we don't speak about.
It has been
like
protected.
Sex.
There are some criminals in our families that are protected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our children need to be taught that at a tender age about a person
voicing
must not touch
out.
You. Yeah,
yeah.
They must not touch you in a particular manner. If they do this thing is called XYZ. So that whenever it happens to them, it doesn't leave them with questions. You know, most of the times why they grow up quiet, it's because of their battling with questions.
Nobody has said anything. Nobody has educated me around this.
And then the first time I was exposed to this thing, it was when some big man whom I was left with at home forced himself on me.
Whom I trusted.
And, yeah, and then they told me that this thing is right. But for some reason, I felt that it's wrong. But because they are my elder, they told me that it's right. And I must not tell anybody about it.
Sure. Then it becomes a journey, I assume. From childhood, Dominic, to now teenagehood, to adulthood as well, young adult.
Yeah.
It does. For many, you know, many women develop vaginismus, where it's even in their marriages, where they marry the man of their dreams, just taking you from jumping from childhood past the teenage phase. I meet the man of my heart. And I am comfortable to give him everything. But because of that regression, they develop vaginismus.
That part of you can't give away.
Well, it's your body part, your intimate body part locks up. And intimacy cannot happen. So something that's meant to be a blessing and a very special thing that you give to each other cannot be fulfilled because of a hurt in the past.
Mm.
And it creates trauma in the relationship, because either the man doesn't think he's wanted or she doesn't think she's good enough. And then it creates a dynamic in the marriage that unless that is addressed, and perhaps she was too scared to tell him about her past, perhaps he doesn't know. And now she has a fear that, well, if I tell you why this is happening, you're going to leave me because you're going to think I'm damaged goods. Mm. Moving from childhood through schooling, all of that, what kind of human being are you in the school system for yourself? Yeah. Are you achieving the results that you want to achieve?
Yeah.
Or are you isolating yourself from teachers because I can't trust you? You're an adult. You hurt me. You know, all adults hurt
your authority. Because authority when it happened, figures. It was an authority figure, right?
You know, you were made to feel dirty about it. So now you feel that you're in this embarrassment to your friends without even communicating it. So you isolate yourself from your environment. And these are very much signs that the schools, teachers, friends can look for, is that this person who was once this bubbly, outgoing person, are they now regressing and keeping to themselves? Why? Why the sudden personality changes? Something must happen for you to move from this person who was the front line of the plays at school, first in line to play cricket, first in line at the tuck shop. Or
what about somebody who came like that?
Who arrived at school like that.
Mm.
If a child arrives at school and they are a quiet person.
Isolating.
Have those conversations with that child, because it could just be that they grew up in a very tightly disciplinarian household where children are meant to be seen and not heard. That there's perhaps no sexual attacks happening at home, but they've just been taught that, you know, until you're an adult, you do not have a voice. Now, yes, children should be taught there's a time and place to speak, not interrupting adults and things like that, but engage. Engage with that child.
Maybe let's give you a break.
Thank you.
Maybe let's give you a break and take a song and then come back to talk to you some more. My family, we're talking long-term effects of rape on a child, a child who grows up to becoming an adult who finds themselves having been molested sexually. How does it affect your total being and becoming the best of you? Let's take a break. We're coming back.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Advertise your business on Radio Pulpit and get back on track. Radio Pulpit is a trusted brand for over 40 years with more than 400,000 listeners. We are now offering better than ever packages on radio and our combined platforms to boost your business. To advertise, contact Sunette on 012-334-1254 or send an email to sunette@radiopulpit.co.za. Alternatively, SMS the word advertise to 37871. Standard rates apply.
Streams of blessings.
For there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer request by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Give you the sounds of Pastor Benjamin Dube, holy, holy. And the time now, 25 minutes. Just before we say hello to Germany, Johan Els on something else. And do remember that he's with you, Dotsasir, because he will continue with you after something else on Spectrum. And after Spectrum, you are joined by Pastor Ray Lehori on Tuesday Live. But right now, I'm with Dominique and Pastor Clement in the studio. Dominic, you'll get used to it, ne? That he's Pastor Clement.
Hey, I saw him in action today. He's a man for God.
Where's the jacket?
I left it at home.
Yeah. Also, today there was no jacket to say and prove I am a pastor.
I had it in the body.
We were ministering to two kids at the matriculants at a school, and he was in his full attire, so I got to see
Oh, my. Alrighty then. So we are talking, family, about long-term effects of rape on a child. Mm. And so we are growing up with this child. I think I rushed to get to the young adult part. Yeah. Dominique is like, okay, before, let's go back to the child, the childhood part. And so you say that every time there are signs that the child has gone through something. But now our children don't have a voice. All right, before I continue, let me greet Frank Yagwebs. Hi, Frank. Hi, Marie. Chalise Ndlovu de Moses. I know Dominique knows her. Currently listening, I'm still in awe of Dominique's story. I'm so excited to hear what is going to be further discussed today. I love what you guys are doing here. We love you. Mariki Buata Pinar, hello. She says she's watching. And Rodney Luke Prince, my faves. Hello, my faves. Oh, he is also our faves, right? He's also our fave. Wendy Lay Rooney says, love listening to Dominique Teebles and Pastor Clement. Counselor.
She's
Aloha. Aloha. Yeah, Buckley Juster. Hello to you. Thank you so much. We are giving you our hearts as well. Thank you so much for tuning in and choosing us as your number one radio station. So children don't have a voice. And sometimes, even when we have taught them to speak up, it's never easy. I'm just asking myself, we on the receiving end, are we parents? Are we guardians? Are we those who can receive whatever the child says to us? Have we prepared our children enough to can share such with us? Because if it's not easy for them to tell us, I've taken a cookie when you said I shouldn't, how would they even now tell you?
I don't think some parents are prepared themselves for that kind of news. Because as a parent, how do you deal with news like that when your child comes and tells you, Mommy, Daddy, I've been hurt in this way? That to me is the ultimate tragedy for a parent to hear from their child. So how does a parent cope with that kind of news? Because as a parent, you feel like an ultimate failure when that news comes to you. And are you equipped to handle that? Because you might react in a poor way, you might act in such a way that you destroy that child's confidence even more. Not blaming the child, but just your reaction, because it is such a shock, just regresses the child even more. So I implore parents to take a moment to breathe and first encircle that child, because all that child needs right now when they love, share that kind of news
support
with you,
mm-hmm.
is love, mm-hmm. is unsolicited love, to know they did nothing wrong, they are not the person in the wrong here, to tell them how brave they are for sharing that news with the parent, and to say, I believe you and I've got you. They need to know you've got them, because if you as the parent cannot pick that child up and put that child under your wing, you are causing even more damage. And it's hard for you as a parent, and you as a parent will need to get help as well.
Now, Pastor Clement, you mentioned something about us sometimes even hiding it under the rug because it's somebody that we know. Somebody who either brings some money in the house, a breadwinner, somebody whom we trusted, maybe an uncle, maybe. I'm not going to even look at just men. Because there are boys that are also going through the same with women as well. Might be an aunt. How do we then deal with that as families? How do we break that silence even when it comes to the ones that we love?
It's a complex one, because remember, each and every person in the community, your community, be it your family, be it your society, be it your church, be it at the workplace, there's a position that which they hold. And then sometimes the matters are swept under the carpet because of positions that people hold. There's a story in the Bible of Amnon and Tamar. Tamar was a half sister to Amnon, and then Amnon lusted for her sister. And then he
ultimately raped her.
Yeah, ultimately
and hated her.
And hated her. But before raping her, he was convinced in his heart that he loves her. And then after rape, he hated her. It's a complex one. And then going back to what Dominique was touching on, the victims, what they wanted to hear is, we sympathize with you. We are with you.
Yeah.
We are with you in this thing. But sometimes what complicates it, it's when, let's say for argument's sake, in the family, it's the father who raped the child. And then the parents want to conceal the matter. And then when they want to conceal the matter, For the victim, it takes the victim back to what I was talking about. So you are protecting the perpetrator over me. So in whichever manner that you approach the case, always make sure that it doesn't leave the victim with a message that says we are protecting the perpetrator over you. Sometimes the victim may purpose in their hearts that I'm going to forgive them, but simply because of they said to you, even as a mother or as an aunt, that I'm going to forgive them. Never ever make the mistake when you put the victim in a position where they now start to feel like you are protecting the perpetrator over them. So the most important thing, and this is one of the things...
So they don't feel safe around you as well.
Yeah. The thing that will help them to come out of that dark hole. Take it back to the Bible when Joseph was thrown into a pit. He didn't take himself out of a pit. Somebody had to say... take him out of a pit, you know. So most victims, they are in that dark pit. And then it is important that regardless of what is involved, what is at stake, make sure that in whichever manner that you deal with the case, the victim doesn't feel like I am left in the pit and everyone is moving on with their lives. We speak about how it affects you psychologically. Some people, it can take them many years for them to heal. And then simply because of we say the perpetrator has been arrested. Let's say in a case where the perpetrator has been arrested. Yeah. One person in the family may say to the victim, you've been crying over the matter for many years. Why don't you move on? Don't even say such things to them. Move on. Some people, it can become a wound before it can go to the position of a scar. It can become a wound that takes a period of 10 years. Some people, it can take them a period of 20 years. But create that room where you allow victims to go through the process and give them the thing that I want to emphasize, give them the necessary support that they are crying for. And then you can never give it to them unless first you hear their cry. So sit down with them, understand what is it that they want, and support them accordingly.
All right. Dominic, is it possible then to live with the perpetrator that you see on a daily? Or from time to time, they're visiting and it's like nothing ever really happened.
That is such a good question. And I love your analogy of Joseph in the pit, is to not that person needs to be pulled out of the pit. So with my story is that for a time, we still went to the perpetrator every second weekend, because he was who I thought was my father, but turns out he's not my biological father. But at the time, we were still being sent to him every second weekend until I told my mom what happened. And then I stopped going to see him, but my two younger sisters still did, because obviously he was their biological father. I was not. So that was sort of, well, it was never said then. But there were times that he would come over to our house. Nothing was ever done. And that would cause such a stress because your mother wasn't protecting you. And I would find myself removing myself or going to friends, walking to a friend's house and just removing myself from that environment completely. So now if you are this child in let's say, living in a location where the whole family is, it's a small home with everybody under one roof, and that person comes home and he or she are the breadwinners, such a tough sure. environment to be in. That creates such stress and such an unhealthy environment to that child, and that's why if that child makes it known that this has happened and you find yourself in a predicament that this is your breadwinner, remove the child from the situation if you cannot remove yourself. There are families and friends. Speak to friends or family, but remove the child, because that child grows up with a fear every night.
Presenting themselves as well.
Yeah, but just a fear when you go to bed. You're waiting for that door to open, for that person to come into your room. When you don't even feel safe going to relieve yourself in the bathroom because you're waiting to be approached and violated at every turn. Washing dishes, you get violated. Going to the bathroom, you get violated. It is a completely
living under fear throughout.
The whole time.
Sure.
The whole time.
All right. I'm not quite sure your last, is it Nick's? Your last digits are 777.
Oh, that's my daughter. Thank you. That's my baby.
Hey, daughter. Hey, baby. Says, thank you for hosting my incredible mother, Dominique Tibbles. She has always been a determined leader, protector, and mother to all. Yeah, and I love that you're coming. You're her mother, but you've been out there. Is it Nicolette?
Yes.
Hi, Nicolette. Go, Mom. Love you lots, Mom. Rock it out there.
Wow. She's my biggest champion.
Oh, my. And Mustard Olive. Dom is such an inspiration to many
of us. The ladies we are working with in our nonprofit Belly to Brain, she's coming in as one of our counselors, so she's going to be an instrumental leg to our organization.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Gert Grizel says, love Dom tons. Love you. They're loving you. And Gert says, I think it's important to raise children to understand their worth, especially through Christ, as according to Romans 8, verses 17, that says, in short, then we are hers in Christ. We are born into a royal family. If we as guardians and parents teach children their worth, and that if they experience this trauma, it does not devalue them as people or their importance. Oh, that is so important.
Yeah, he's
that
my
is
honey.
So important. Oh,
he's
okay.
My partner.
Hi, partner. Hi, hey, honey.
Hey,
so he's our partner as well.
Yes.
Katrina Swart. Oh, Katrina Nieman. Yeah. Okay.
Amen, dit is 'n goeie topic wat julle oor praat. Dank die Here vir die waarheid wat in koning Dawid se huis geïgnoreer was. Ek kom daardeur, dankie Jesus dat U my siel en liggaam gesond gemaak het deur die bloed van Jesus. Ek het die oorwinning oor Satan en sy magte. So as she's saying, through God and through Jesus as her salvation, she has come through this trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no other way, I think, outside of this, but through Christ himself, right? He's the one who renews our minds. Chantel Kutia, thank you, Pastor Clement. Being abused physically and sexually by my father, I got told so many times, get over it. It's in the past now. It's been 34 years and it still haunts me.
Sure.
Okay, can we park it here because of our time? I think we still need to continue now. She mentions 34 years, but it still haunts me. And I think we just touched just a little bit, the tip of the iceberg that's there when now somebody becomes a young adult. But if you think 34 years, it's a long time. And somebody would expect you to have already healed. No, man, it's 34 years. You should be fine. But, so we are going to park it here for today. And we are going to come back and build up on that and talk to somebody who's now going from being a young adult from the ages of 18, growing up with this, their long effects. But what are closing statements today, Dominique?
For me, I want parents to be their children's heroes. Is that when your child comes and approaches you with some news like this, is brace yourself, but embrace that child and be their hero. Remove them from the environment and be their their healing, be their band-aid, you know. The words, just get over it. Never, ever, ever use those words. And walk the journey with that child. Because when you're walking the journey, holding them through every temper tantrum, through every regression, through every hard moment where they want to punch and hit and bite, it's healing. That's how you recover and that's how you heal it. But be brave enough to walk the process and don't give up.
Yeah. Pastor Clement?
What I will say is to all the victims, go out there, network with other people, go to spaces where they speak more about what you've been through, and then get into spaces where you will talk with people who've been through what you've went through. It becomes easy, you know, to connect, especially with someone who exactly understands what you've been through. And then sit down also with those who say, I've been through it, and these are the steps that I took for me to can heal. So it takes a family, takes a community. Just go out there and build a community. And as a country, I will encourage the family, let's go out there and become the voices of change, you know, in our little corners. Let's make that awareness, spark that light, and together as a nation, we will overcome this pandemic. And then in conclusion, this one, it's serious. According to stats, most people who were victimized, 90%, it is they were victimized by people that they know. So 90%, it's people that they know.
All right, yeah. Sure. 90% is people that they know. Sure, may the Lord really help us. So when you have a child who's just walking out there in the during family meetings, you don't know.
And I've sat down with people whom, when you know, we touch on such stories, you will, in most cases, you will hear Me Too, Me Too. And those Me Toos, they come from
families. I have
families.
Met a lot of Me Toos.
Yeah.
And myself. They come from families. I've met a lot of Me Toos. But yeah, we're going to leave it at here. How do we get hold of you, Dom?
So you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook, Dominique Tibbles. Or you can follow Belly to Brain and see what we're doing with Belly, the number 2, and Brain, also on Instagram and Facebook. So do DM us if you just want to talk, because reach out to your community.
Maruti?
Social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, YouTube.
etc.
Clement TC Chauke. Every platform, all platforms. Clement TC Chauke. Yonke now.
LinkedIn.
Clement TC Chauke.
Guys, thank you so much for coming through and you know, allowing God to use you to address these.
Sibugile, thank you for
it happens
raising
in
this
the
topic.
Churches.
Thank
it
you
happens.
For raising this topic. The more we talk about it, the more the people feel safe to talk about it.
It happens in the kingdom, and you meet people who are dysfunctional in their lives, at work, in their marriages, in their homes. And so you wonder what might have happened. Unfortunately, I'm unable to read all the messages from Rejuvenate, Alosha, and all the rest. I love you, but thank you so much for tuning in and being with us. Guys, let's come back for a part 2.
Thank you.
Or will it be a part 3?
Part 3.
It is a part 2.
Wow. Amazing.
I'm signing out, family. Let's meet tomorrow as we'll be talking about sinusitis and versus colds and flus with Dr. Abel Clailani. So do not miss it. Tomorrow I'm coming in at 9 up until 11 in the morning. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of our Lord Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. We are coming back for a part 2, and we say hello to Germany. Johan else on something else.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
Leaving you with the sounds of Beth Alive, and the title of the song is No Longer Slaves.
657 AM, Radio for Believers in Action.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.